This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, alien Sasquatch, and all things strange.
This is Daryl Sims, the alien hunter, and I'm at Strange Harbor, and this is where you need to be. Keep listening, because it's happening right here.
This pilot, though, who flew Barack Obama during his 2008 presidential campaign, says UFOs are real, and he's seen one firsthand.
An unidentified object seen over the sky above the Rosedale area.
The shot today video that's got all of Texas talking, probably the whole country, from iReporter, who shot this on a cell phone near Stephenville, Texas. It's a UFO, according to witnesses, and the witnesses include local police and other public figures.
When several dozen residents looked up and saw a UFO more than once.
Three very mysterious shiny lights over Breckenridge have police and residents puzzled.
Tonight we have never before seen videotape of UFOs over Colorado.
If you noticed strange lights in the sky over the weekend, you aren't alone. KCTV5's Alan Shope went to Lee's Summit to get to the bottom of more than a dozen UFO sightings.
Never before seen footage of UFO sightings this year being shown at a conference in Pontefract.
Local police never definitively said who's to blame. Locals say it has to be something out of this world.
I'm taking a random picture, zoomed in, and there it was. There was a UFO.
Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, alien Sasquatch, all things strange.
Hey, this is Derek Randles with the Olympic Project, and you're listening to Strange Harbor.
Don't miss a single episode because strange things are going to happen.
This is Strange Harbor.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, UFOs, Sasquatch, conspiracies, ghosts, near-death experience. I am Johnny Manson, and she is MUFON investigator Sherita Seuss.
Keeping it real with UFOs.
Speaking of UFOs, one of our good friends returns to the show, the alien hunter Daryl Sims. Welcome back, my friend.
I am delighted to be here. This should be a very fun time.
So, you know, we've talked in the past, we've talked to you numerous times. You've been in studio, you've been over the phone and Zoom, and we've talked about alien fluorescence, we've talked about alien implants. Do you have any cases that we can dig into right away?
Well, I actually had a lady email me this morning, and she had had a number of interesting things happen in to her husband and her son, and this happened very, very recently, and the thing that is, I think it interested me most about it was the honesty and the forthrightness of the individuals. It happened about 2 a.m., and she was noticed a red laser against her closed eyelid, and she says, we live in a house that all the windows are, we have curtains all the way down, and there's no way a laser could, somebody could be shining. Finally, she eyes and gets up, and she realizes there's a gray alien standing there. She is freaking out because he's the one that's got the laser. I didn't tell her anything about the laser or what they do or anything. I just simply listened to the story. And she tried to get her husband up, but she couldn't, which is pretty common. Instead of doing the thing she would normal, she finally just laid back down and went to sleep, which is, again, a suggestion that they often give to these people in these events. And then she had another event the next night, and she was really freaking out because it's virtually the same event without the laser. And she said, I thought I heard dishes and it doesn't make any sense. And she said, I wanted to get up and see if my daughter was all right, but then I laid back down and went to sleep immediately. And she talked to her daughter the next morning, and she says, were you up last night? She said, yes, I heard you in the kitchen washing dishes. And, of course, that wasn't true at all. Sometimes the alien will use familiar sounds or things that you reference to a relative to make you know that everything's okay for you to get up and go to another room or go outside or whatever to for your encounter. And of course, they've not responded back, but I just sent this morning. Cause I had that happen, a similar event myself when I was quite young, at age 12. But the ruse is just to get you to go in, get the girl to go in the kitchen. I said, in my opinion, I said, the daughter is the target of the alien, not the mom or the dad, although they're both awake during events and then go immediately back to sleep. Right. Generally, it's someone singled out in the family. In most cases, the family, they simply stay in a deep sleep during these events.
Right. How old is she?
Don't know that yet. My impression, based on what she said, was about 12. In my case, I was 4 when I first realized the events were going on. And later, my brother was taken, a little brother, and others. But most of them don't remember exactly the age, but I do. My first encounter where I was conscious of the individual entity in the room was age 4, a little over 4 years old.
What are the youngest ages that you've had to deal with in this?
This gets to be a little controversial to answer that question. The youngest ages are pregnancy.
Wow.
I tell them, as a former police officer, what you're going to tell me is a story. That's not proof. It's not evidence. It's just a story. I can't verify that, yay or nay, that sort of thing, simply because I don't know. I wasn't there. And it's important to have evidence that suggests that these events may be more than just a story. In other words, when someone says, I knew this when I was in my mother's womb, this sort of thing, when my mother was pregnant with me, there should be a substantial information to corroborate all that. We have had a case, in fact, it's literally not 5 miles from me. A lady claimed that she'd had this things happen during her pregnancy, and she doesn't know anything about aliens and ghosts and none of that. And she starts describing to me these events, and I realize that this is very likely alien contact. Then she has her child. The child wakes up screaming incessantly, constantly, and they can't figure out what the problem is. Take him to the doctor. Doctor says nothing wrong with the child. And she says, and then sometimes my husband and I are down in the second story. We're reading at night or watching TV or something. And the strangest thing, says, I've gone up there and noticed that the baby was not in the crib. It was outside the crib. Or worse, that the baby was not in the crib. The baby can't even crawl. I mean, it's not possible.
Right.
So she's looking for it, scared, and goes back upstairs, and the baby's back in the baby crib. So she thinks it's ghosts and all kinds of stuff. And I said, well, let me tell me about your son now. She's, well, he's 13 years old, and in school he's in special education. I said, special education in what respect? She's, well, he's on special medication to control his extreme anger that he had when he was a baby. And I said, did you ever consider the possibility that the therapist might not be correct in their diagnosis? You might want to get a second or third opinion. She says, what do you mean? I said, what you're describing to me is consistent with the kind of contact that we're used to. And she said, oh my gosh, we don't know that's what it is. I just think that she might want to get another opinion. For a clinical opinion. She said, my son is just like a zombie. He goes to school. He's very gentle, but it's totally medication. Said, if he ever gets off the medication, you see a part of him you can't even imagine. And I said, well, I've seen this before. It's not the only time. And we've cased India where this happened to a man, and he's probably 30 years old now. And he's on constant medication for his condition. I said, there, I have interviewed him at different times with the family as well, because we did an alien implant surgery on the daughter. And he's telling the exact same story she is. And she's as sane as anybody I've ever seen, and has attacked him, this sort of thing.
Anger is natural with children when they don't understand something or they can't stop something from happening.
That's true. And in this particular case in India, the individual is 30 years old. When his instant psychosis started, and again, he's telling the exact same stories as his sister, who is the tech tech, the one with the dream pantry on, and her father, who's an engineer, doesn't believe in UFOs or any of that. However, he tells the exact same encounters with the entities that his daughter does and his son did.
Yeah.
But he didn't believe in all that stuff.
Well, you know, it runs in families. We just got a case like 2 days ago where we're speaking with a woman and her encounters, and her entire family, from her grandparents to her children, are all having similar issues, and many of them. So, I mean, I've seen it run in families. The researchers are looking for links, like the blood. Is it a negative, positive? You know, they're just, they're looking, trying to find some kind of simile there.
We had a lot of stuff about the 80s. We produced some statistics, and some of the statistics were pretty neat because one of the things we found is that the contact would occur in the family lineage for sure, that it would sometimes it would be only the girls and only some of the girls or only some of the boys. In rare cases, it would be like that. In less rare cases, it would be someone in the family. And I asked them to go check to see if there's a family that has these events. And they said, well, I don't know of any. And I said, well, don't ask everybody publicly. Go privately to your aunts, uncles, and so on and tell them about your events. Watch their physiology. And I said, because physiology is 55% of your response. Mm-hmm. Even if you never say a word, the physiology is the teller of tales. And 38% is the tone, pitch, and timbre of your voice. Only 7% is the words, so the words don't interest me the most. It's the other 93% of communication that I'm getting. So in the stats that we found that it not only was in the family lineage somewhere or another, it may be one or every first or second generation or third generation. Also, statistics too, that it was 45% of these people are Native American, Indian, Irish, Celtic. And I had a black lady call me from a remarkable case up in Pennsylvania, and she said, she were talking, and I said, if you don't mind me asking, what nationality are you? She said, well, Mr. Sims, we black. And I said, yes, ma'am, I can understand that from your voice, but most of us are not pure anything, are we? She said, that's true. Are there any other bloodlines in your family? She said, yeah, we're Cherokee Irish. The statistics are kind of a big deal. We found a lot of weirdness. We found in one small study back in the early 90s that a number of our abductees had rare drug allergies to procaine, xylocaine, novocaine, lidocaine, carbocaine, cocaine, or whatever cane, the cane family it was, and that would range from hives to coma. So we found a lot of weird stuff about abductees back then.
You not only interview and help families with an abduction or an experience, an event, but you also hunt alien pilots?
Well, people, I was on a TV program, and there were four of us that were in the investigation. They asked me very bluntly, said, what separates you from everybody else? And I said, well, I guess most investigators hunt the alien phenomena with a camera, with a laptop, with notebook, pen, pencil, that sort of thing. I said, yeah. And he said, well, what are you looking for? I said, I hunt the pilots. I said, it makes little sense to me. If the phenomena is real, why in the world everybody wants to reinvent the wheel over and over again, I don't understand. If there's a bus going down the street, I generally assume there's a driver. I could be wrong. There may be buses driving down the street that don't have drivers. But generally speaking, when I see an airplane in the sky, I think, I'll bet there's a pilot up there and probably a co-pilot. And in most cases, I'm right.
Have you had an experience?
I can't prove that, but I think I'm right. And when we see a UFO go by, we say, that must be a bright light, or it must be a something else. Really? Or if it's metallic shaped, you know, we don't know what that is. Well, that may be true, but it's apparently flying and it's not crashing. So it's probably not a meteorite with a very smooth metallic skin. So I'm suspecting that possibly there is a pilot. I want to know who's flying it, and that's who I hunt.
Have you found one?
I have. And thank you for asking. The facts are simply that if the alien phenomena is real, certain things have to be true. If alien contact is happening, they're either flying here, driving here, taking a boat here, or something. I suspect they're probably getting here through atmosphere or underwater, and there seems to be some fairly strong evidence of both. So that's kind of academic in my opinion, that they're getting here, period. And people are reporting contact events. If any of these events are true, even just only one, regardless of what the Roper poll or anything else says, if only one of them's real and absolutely totally true, that some type of contact has been made by an entity from wherever, not Earth, so to speak, then, my goodness, we have a real phenomenon.
We keep getting packet losses between your internet and my internet here. Every now and then we lose all audio, so we'll hear part of something you say.
Wow.
And then it doesn't last long but a few seconds. But so we may re-ask something just to try to fill that.
Aren't we past speaking of this as a phenomena and really ready to call it a fact? At MUFON, we have more than adequate proof with videos and audio tapes and all manner of communication. When do we get to say, yes, they're here? They've probably been here for a very long time. Yes, there are whole cities underneath the water. When do we get to say they're here?
Well, I guess that's up to the individual. I had a guy question me here a while back. This was at a university. He came by my stand, and it showed all kinds of medical and scientific evidence of alien implants. And he says, this is the biggest bunch of crap I've ever heard of. I said, okay, why do you think that is? I'm a scientist. And I said, I don't think you are. He said, I'm a scientist here at this university. I said, I don't think you are. I am. And I said, okay, prove it. He said, well, I am. I'm a scientist. And I said, now, wait a minute. A scientist, you're an engineer. He said, yes. And I said, okay, if you're an engineer, when you ask me, what supports your claims? That's what any scientist would have asked. Instead, you've said it's all a bunch of crap, a bunch of bull. There isn't any truth to it whatsoever. I said, that puts you in the psychic realm, not the science realm. I think you're closer to a psychic than a scientist, because only a scientist would have asked the right questions, and a psychic already knows the answers like you do. And then he finally said, well, I apologize. Here, let me, what kind of evidence do you have to support you? I said, see that book over there? He said, yeah. I said, 440 pages in it. I doubt that you can read the data, because it's not a science that you're acquainted with. My point is that I think you should look carefully at evidence. And I said, I'll take back the statement that you're not a scientist, and I'll take back the statement that you're a psychic. I assume that you're not a psychic right now. So we just laughed about it, and he left. But what he didn't understand, and I was prepared for him to do this, happened in England, by the way, at Hallam University. And I said, I was going to tell him, but I thought, you know, why scare the man? Our work has been peer-reviewed and looked at by the Royal Society of Chemical Engineers. I don't need the likes of you to tell me anything about my work.
Well, scientists overall tap away from this subject matter, paranormal, Bigfoot, all of these, just because they're afraid of their tenure and being called a whack job, tinfoil hat individual. We know the proof's out there, but these people are just now looking for it.
I agree with that. An MIT professor that called me, and we talked about a number of different things. He said, I think that your work in the fluorescence deserves a scientific paper. And I said, there isn't enough evidence to support that right now. I said, it's too early for that. And he said, well, I disagree. And so he was one scientist that did go along, tenured professor at MIT. And another individual came along after one of our surgeries and said, you know, the startling thing that you found, it's an amazing thing. You seem to have found that the implants seem to be surrounded by a biological tissue that literally blocks off all knowledge of the foreign object inside the body. Replicable in a laboratory. And this guy's a Nobel laureate.
Right.
He said, Mr. Sims, you may already have a Nobel laureate. Find it right now. He said, and I said, well, doctor, I was born at night, 7:30 at night, as a matter of fact, and I was born in Texas, but it wasn't last night. I said, what laboratory do you think that I should trust to send that kind of evidence to? And he looked at me and laughed and said, not one. I said, like I said, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. I think I'll just hold on to the evidence and the three mediums that I have, and I'll wait until I can do something a little more substantial.
Those particular pieces of metal or what have you that come out of the human body, I've read reports that they are made of star stuff, basically meteorites or asteroids. Unusual metals, that kind of thing. Have you found that to be true?
Well, I should, because I'm the one that reported it. The fact is I've done 25 surgical interventions currently around here and around the world. And in conducting them, we have found a lot of different objects. And I tell people over and over and over, please do not, just because you've had contact or think you've had contact, assume you have an implant. The implants are quite rare. And everybody I talk to, literally every conference, they just pour in. Oh my God, I've got an implant. Look at this bump. Look at this lump. Look at this. Well, I just know I have, because I have had contact. So I've got all these implants. I can almost guarantee you the answer is you don't. And I said, I have x-rays every year, and they're not implants. I said, just because somebody stuck you with pencil lead when you were in fourth grade and you don't remember it, and you've got some pencil lead graphite stuck under your skin in your hand, doesn't make it an implant. Oh, but I have weird behaviors and things are happening to me. I said, that sometimes can be cured with medication. But my point is that implants are virtually, in most cases, totally unknown by the abductee. They're discovered almost accidentally.
Right.
In most cases. I said, we have rarely ever found a case where, oh, I've got an implant right over here, and I know all about it. And that just, I've got one case that I'm looking at right now where the person literally walked through a metal detector in an airport, and the metal detectors went off, and all kinds of questions. Then they searched, and they did this. The metal detector's still going off. They got all the metal off this individual, and it's still ringing. And there's no history of surgery, no anything. And they know approximately where the little metal device is at, and so on and so on and so on. So it's they're asking me, would you be interested in helping with that? And, of course, the answer is, of course I would. I'd be glad to. And literally that happened 2 days ago for me to get that case. So the point is about implants is that there are all kinds of things. We have implanted objects. Some of them are ceramic in origin, appear to be ceramic. Some of them have look literally like an egg, a little tiny egg the size of a grain of sand. We think may have housed a biological camera for the alien. We think we know a lot about that case. Happened in 1992, December 18th, December 11th, a double mass abduction that happened in Houston, Texas, and in Florida as well. Then there are other objects. We've got four objects that came out of a young man's tendon in his knee, which is impossible because these objects are four in a row lined up, tic-tac size, inside the tendon of his knee, and the surgeon said, that's impossible for these objects to be lined up in your tendon in the knee. First of all, they're not calcifications. They're not any kind of, they're not anything that makes any sense. They appear to be a plastic-type material, and I have them, of course. And but that particular event happened in reportedly Area 51 when they were camping. But there are all kinds of objects. But I think for the audience and for your scientific background, I think this next statement might be more important.
And we will hear that next statement coming up on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. Our guest today, Daryl Sims, the alien hunter, and I rudely interrupted you.
In 1994, I did a presentation for 250 surgeons and doctors and medical staff at John Muir Medical Hospital. $1 million presentation room is quite amazing. And it was on medical complications of alleged human-alien contact. And in that presentation, I showed x-rays and all kinds of things of these objects, and I also showed x-rays of tech under x-ray, what it looks like. I said, the objects you're looking at here are not tech in any sense of the word we understand it. I said, the bottom line is that I would like for you to prove me wrong, and here's how I want you to do it. I said, I brought two witnesses with me today, two women that have had UFO encounters, and when these people come to you and say they've got an encounter and they've got an unusual lump, bump, scar, whatever, please look at it. You can use your Bayesian logic to assess it as you will, but the fact is, since you've heard this presentation and seen the evidence I'm presenting, I suggest that you look at it differently and order a pathology report on the affected areas. Look at it with an x-ray, of course, or an MRI or CAT scans, whatever you need. But the important thing is to examine the area, because in some areas, in my opinion, the objects you're looking at here are quite old. The quote-unquote tech is old, and the alien will be using a different type of tech in the future. And in fact, the tech will be biological and therefore virtually undeterminable. Simply because you can't do anything. Unless you actually do a biopsy, you're not going to notice anything. And, of course, when the doctors asked me, what might we notice? I said, in my opinion, in the most advanced cases, you're going to find nerve cells that are present that don't belong in that part of the body. And he said, like what? And I said, like central nervous systems cells inside a lump inside the arm, as an example. And I gave them four primary things that would be true. We're going to do operations for the near future, and I'd started next year. I said, in these operations, we will find if these objects are alien, if they're alien. And that's a big stretch, I know, for everybody here. I said, if they're alien, the objects will show no signs of technology. None. That's the first shocker. Number two is they're attached to blood supply, and the fact is they'll be surrounded by biological containment that will not be native to that part of the body. But needless to say, I don't think there was any doctor there that believed that. On our first surgery, the pathology report reported every bit of what I just told you to be absolutely true. And the two surgeons that were present looked at me and said, how in God's name could you possibly know what we would find? Because that's it's medically impossible. If there's a foreign object in you, it's rather simple. If there's a splinter in your foot or hand and you leave it there, the body's going to have an acute inflammatory response referred to as like it's going to start swelling. The white blood cells are going to start attacking it and so on because it's a foreign body. That's normal. If it becomes a worse condition and you can't get rid of it or you can't get it out, the body will encapsulate it with what is called an inflammatory response. When that's surgically removed, the doctor will simply say, well, that's an inflammatory response. Those are inflammatory cells. The problem was there was a containment around the objects, but it was non-inflammatory. He said there are no inflammatory cells present. Right. That's what interested the Nobel laureate. And I've had friends and others try to prove this because it's important from, they have a prearranged viewpoint, and that is that the alien has got all this technology and they're doing this and they're doing that. And that's my response is always, how do you know that? How do you know this? How do you know that? And I'll reference that with a question from Dr. Bob Wood. Dr. Bob Wood, my opinion, is one of the seminal thinkers in the UFO field. And we were doing a TV shoot in Sedona. It was very hot inside the hangar where we were interviewing him, and he was showing us evidence of back engineering, not papers that showed where the tech went, but he actually had the original documents. This was interesting to me. We took a coke break. Bob looked at me and said, Daryl, I would like to speak to you privately if I may. I said, sure. And everybody went over to get a coke or water, whatever they wanted, and to refresh themselves. And he said, I want to know some questions. See, you were in the CIA, blah, blah, blah. And I want to know, did you know this person, so on and so on. I said, and I told him my answers. And then he said, my last question to you, and everybody was walking back at that time, and they heard his question, which I was not happy about. He said, I want you to tell me, in your opinion, how far ahead you think the alien is ahead of mankind. I would rather not answer you in public because I'm going to get laughed off the stage, so to speak. And he looked at me and said, I want to know what you think. And I said, well, sir, I said, the alien is no more than 15 to 50 years ahead of us. And everybody laughed so hard, the producer, the executive producer, the other three investigators. They were laughing so hard. It's hilarious. Only two people weren't laughing in that conversation. One was me, and the other one was Dr. Bob Wood.
That doesn't seem very much in the future.
He says, and everybody's still laughing, and then he started to speak, and they quit laughing, and he says, "That is fabulous." I said, "Why do you think so?" He said, "That's the exact conclusion I came to." And he said, "My next question to you is, how did you come to that conclusion?" When I was abducted at age 12, go on 1305 Ohio Street, approximately 3:11 in the morning, I said I was wide awake during the event. I know exactly what happened. And as a result, during the abduction event, I overheard what they were going to do to me. And I became horrified and very upset, and I started crying. And then they did what I call it switching you off. They just tell you you won't remember and whatever, and then you just black out or whatever. What they didn't understand is that I had figured out how to turn myself back on so I could still listen to them talk. It speaks telepathically. And so I turned myself back on, and they didn't realize I'm listening. And I heard what they were going to do in detail. So they speak in concepts. That's what people don't understand. And you can actually understand it, even as a kid. And I said, I really freaked out then because I knew what they were going to do. And I said, I don't understand why. I've never harmed anybody. Why would you do things like that to me? And then they started the process. I said, it took me years later, while at NMSU and studying and looking at other things on the internet, to realize that the procedures, the things they were doing, was no more than 15 to 50 years ahead of us. He said, that is just incredible. He said, Daryl, he said, the information I have and the evidence I have indicates the exact same figures you're talking about. Well, needless to say, no one else is laughing anymore. I said, what people don't understand is that UFO phenomena, quote unquote, the abduction contact phenomena, is no more than 200 years old at the most, probably a little over 100. And it's just a program. It's only one of a number of programs that are being run. It's just a program. And there are phases inside that program. One of the phases is implantation. Another phase is certain types of contact. And I could spend hours going through all this. There are different phases of these programs. On our best information, if our information is accurate from the alien, that program of abduction contact, quote unquote, is almost over. We don't know how quickly that'll happen, but in a few years to no more than 20 or 30 years, this show is over. That program is over, and as far as they're concerned, it has failed. Whatever it is they were looking for, they didn't get it.
So you don't prescribe to ancient aliens on...
No, I don't. This is kind of a startling way for me to put it, because you can look at petroglyphs and you can actually see alien entities on these petroglyphs 1,000 years old, some of them older than that. So that means aliens were here long before. I didn't say the aliens weren't here. I'm saying the program called Contact is only no more than 200 years old, probably not much more than 100 years old. The alien has been around for quite a while. In fact, if you look at those petroglyphs carefully, instead of, oh my God, that looks like an alien, you'll notice some of them have antenna on their head, like the movies, the little alien with the little antenna on their head. That's where they got the idea. And as I asked one of my Zuni medicine men buddies, I said, why do you think they removed the antennas and they go in with the gray model right now? He said, I don't know. And I said, they changed models. I said, you know that the gray used to have perfectly round black eyes, not the Hollywood version of the eyes now, the elongated eyes. He said, what do you mean? I said, yeah, when I was 4 years old, they had round black eyes. In fact, when I was lecturing in Chile, a lady came forward and said, oh my God, should I thought this was all a bunch of bull until I heard you describe the round eyes. I said, that's exactly what mine were doing back in the 50s.
So when you say program, are you referring to quantum theory and you're looking at us as we're not really here? Can you identify that?
Sure. To kind of make that and go big picture so that we don't kind of lose our audience here, you've got a scientific background and some of them may not. One of the programs that was run on mankind kind a long time ago, however long that was. I don't know. I wasn't there. But we know it happened with the giant program. When the scientists went with the little Peruvians to Machu Picchu, they said, look at all these giant stone towers and you should be proud of yourselves. They looked at those scientists and said, what? We didn't do that. The giants did. Why is it scientists ignore everything they said when they just told them the history? I don't get it. Long story short, giants was just a program that was run for a period of time. It's just an example. I think there have been probably close to 100 of these programs that have been run on mankind from that time forward to now, the last one being the quote-unquote contact experience. Call it whatever you want, but that's only because we're new here.
Again, when you say program, as if running a video or
a program being a designed feature to affect mankind.
Okay. Program A was giants. Program B, maybe
programs
small.
X, Y, and Z might have been contact.
Okay.
As an example. And that affected mankind. And we're still sitting here, you and I are presenting this as if it were all true to some relative degree, and science is sitting there scratching their head, well, I don't even believe in all that weird stuff. That, last time a scientist told me that, I said, I don't believe in the Great Wall of China. He said, well, it exists. And I said, prove it. He said, well, I've got pictures. And I said, I got pictures of UFOs. I've been there. I said, I've seen them too. I still don't believe in the Great Wall of China. I said, your arrogance like mine here about the Great Wall of China is unfounded. It doesn't make any sense. If you've got good, credible, honest, good scientists that I've three of my engineers, not a housewife who can barely cook eggs or something. I said, you know, you quit trying to make these people like they're stupid. There's nothing wrong with these people. A child can be a good witness. They tell children describe their abduction encounters differently than adults. That's why you know there's a great deal of truth in it. And there's nothing wrong with witnesses. If they're credible, they're credible. It doesn't make any difference whether they're scientists or, you know, I've got a doctor who doesn't believe in any of this stuff. He came to me the other day with tears in his eyes because now the same marks that are on him are showing up on his daughter and his wife. Now he said, we're not weird like you guys. And I said, welcome to the club.
You know, you talked a little bit about fluorescence. How is it that you've been studying fluorescence with aliens? How is that?
Well, fluorescence, the simplified way to put this is that the alien leaves a material on you from physical contact, if physical contact has occurred. And in my opinion, 80% of these so-called contact experiences are not non-physical. They may occur mentally. They may be in your room, next to your bed, uploading, downloading information, whatever, but you didn't go anywhere. If he physically touches you and you go somewhere, it is highly likely that a fluorescent sweat, for lack of a better term, will be on your skin. It'll penetrate your skin subdermally on contact. As I tell people, I send them forms out to test themselves. I said, if you can wash it off, don't call me. I'm not interested. The point is that Ted Oliphant, who's a Fife, Alabama cop, who's a brilliant, excellent cop, interviewed me many years ago in exactly 1994, the same time I did the presentation with the doctors. He was trying to tell me that that he thought a lot of cattle mutilations were done by the military. I said, they are guilty of that. He said, no, I think they're the problem. I said, no, sir, you're wrong. And he said, well, no, you're wrong. I said, no, sir. I said, I'm an ex-cop. I said, it's just like anything else. You know, make your case. And we argued back and forth. And I said, some of those cattle are been in the dark. And he says, who told you that? Where did you find that out? I said, well, I'm not stupid. I said, good night. I said, I can figure out a few things myself.
So,
I said, the important thing is some of our cattle glow in the dark, too. He said, you mean abductees? And I said, of course.
Oh, I see. So they actually glow in the dark without a black light?
Well, they glow in the dark with a black light. For instance, a farmer is out there, Podunk, Kansas, and he's up late at night, and he sees this helicopter come by and pick up his cow and take off with it. And I said, that's why you believe it's all the military. He said, that's right. And I said, you're missing the whole point. They call DSP satellite, and they say, because they've got these satellites are based on three lenses, infrared, ultraviolet, invisible light, 300 miles up can spot stuff you can't even imagine. point is, say, all I have to do is ask the question, is there any fluorescence on any cattle anywhere in the United States, let's say in the Southwest? And within a short period of time, they'll call back and say, yeah, we've got one in Podunk, Kansas, this fluorescence with this particular nanometer length on a cow. And then all of a sudden, the helicopter shows up, picks up cow. I said, you asked the wrong question, my friend. The question you should have asked is, why are they picking that cow up? They can pick up their own cows if they want their own cattle farm. Why are they interested in a cow in Podunk, Kansas with fluorescence on it? That's because the aliens already picked him up, and they know that. They want to follow what they're doing. I said, if you'll look at these cases carefully, you'll find in some of these cattle mutilations that human pharmaceuticals are present in some of these cattle. That's evidence that we've done stuff with. Well, I said, he said, well, I still think it's the military. I said, that's it. He said, you got a case, make it. And I said, all right. I said, okay, I've got a good case for you. Tons of meat fell from the sky, well documented, different kinds of animals. Some of it was human, hearts, lungs, etc., and sliced. Well, that could have been from this. And I said, could have been, but it wasn't. Well, why wouldn't it have been? I thought it was in the 1880s. What? Like I said, I don't think anybody in the CIA did that. I don't think the Air Force flew over and dropped off a bunch of sliced human beings and other body parts and things from animals. I said, you're missing the whole point. You're stuck in a narrative that's got you stuck there. You can't do that. As a cop, you can't do that. Once you do that, you get that kind of mentality. You start going after certain kind of criminals because, well, they're obviously guilty. You end up convicting wrong people with that kind of thinking. It's a bad position. I don't like it.
How far down the rabbit hole have you gone?
I've gone pretty far down it, I guess. The thing that has helped me, I think, is the fact that my abduction stopped violently at age 17. But in the course of the 10 abduction events that happened in my life as a kid, I became more conscious, more and more aware. I'll give you one last case. I was in school in seventh grade, and this just doesn't make any sense to me. This is nonsensical to me. I hear this voice in my head telling me to leave school. I need to go out in the desert, and I knew exactly where to go. I actually went, it's a second-story building, red brick building, and I went, stuck my head outside the window and see if I could hear who in the world is talking to me. A beautiful blue sky, beautiful white clouds, and I'd be like, this doesn't make any sense. It's overwhelming, and I, very obedient to my parents, I would never quit school. So that was Friday. Saturday morning, I picked up my .22 rifle, put 17 rounds in it, went out in the desert, out in Alamogordo, New Mexico, walked up there, and got abducted. I mean, just like I was supposed to on Friday, but I didn't do it. The point is that I'm standing there holding my little rifle. I open my eyes and realize my head is hot. It's just when you stand in one space for a long time out in the desert, you get really hot. And my head is so hot, and I open my eyes, and I can see the entity walking away from me. He just brought me back. And he's walking. He's about 50, 60 feet away. I've got my rifle in my hand with 17 rounds in it. I'm a really good shot. I can shoot him if I wanted to. And it's the only time I've ever seen that entity ever scared. Never seen a visible emotion on his face, except then he knew I had that gun, and he knew I was thinking about it. He took off running, and then finally I took off running after him, and then finally I guess he got beamed out or something. He disappeared. I never saw him disappear. I don't know how he disappeared. I just lost sight of him and followed him. And I had to question my own event. You know, was that really true? Were you dreaming? Did you have a hallucination in the middle of the desert? I never had one before. I don't know why I would have one then. But the reason I questioned myself regardless, and I went back and began to look at everything, because I'm a tracker, and one of the things I noticed are two sets of footprints in the sand.
Maybe you should have brought a camera.
When you're 12 years old out in the middle of New Mexico, 12, 13 years old, 1961, you don't take a little camera on a little hunting trip. I went out there all the time, went out in the desert, knew like the back of my hand. And you're not going to see anything in the desert except you can see a bigger, my footprint, and a smaller one from him. But it's in very sandy areas, so you wouldn't see an actual quote-unquote print. But you can see that somebody was present. The second set of prints goes out there to a point and stops and just disappears.
How do we find your book?
People can find my books fairly simply by going to alienhunter.org, and I've got two books. They're not written for entertainment. I didn't want to write either one of them, but I did because people begged me for them. The first book is about evidence and how to find it. If you follow the book's instructions, you will find evidence like I did. It's Alien Hunter, Evidence and Light. Second one was on alien implants. And I'll tell you a quick funny story. We got to a certain chapter, I think chapter 11, and my surgical nurse, she said, Daryl, we need a zinger for the opening of that chapter. And I said, okay, let's call the chapter, Do Aliens Have Implants? implants. That is brilliant. Wow, that's fantastic. What a great title. And then to hit her like a ton of bricks, do they? I said, sweetie, aliens are implants. They are a collection of assembled. They're hats, cloned, made, manufactured for the purpose of interaction with mankind. I said, we need to understand that. If you don't, you don't know what it is you're tracking. I realized a long time ago that you can chase UFOs all you want to in pictures and this and that and stories.
Do you think that mankind is ready for disclosure, and do you think the governments are ready to disclose?
Well, that's, to me, it's a joke. The truth is just a lie that hasn't been told yet. I mean, I spent 2 years in covert operations. What do you think we did for a living? Lie and lie consistently, and our lies are so good that you're still believing them to today. There are people that still believe that there was a weather balloon at Roswell. Wonder who developed that one. Then there was one about dummies falling out of the sky, that those were just little Japanese dummies. Well, I was the first guy that found the original dummies, and they're 6 foot tall. And I found the first one in Alamogordo, New Mexico, given by the military to that museum. And they took me down the bottom part of the building, and they showed it to me, about me and a friend of mine, a MUFON investigator, that took him with me. And I said, I want you to see this. And we got pictures of us playing with the original ones before they gave one to Roswell. And you see one hanging there in the museum. But my work is also in three different museums in Košice, Slovakia, where we received a medal there for our work. A medal from Haikui, Japan, at the $52 million complex. It looks like a UFO from outside. It's a three-story complex. And then Roswell Museum, my work is there on a wall. It will be the next time the museum opens after the virus, you will hopefully be able to see video of one of my surgical interventions, probably in India. And you can look at different kinds. And because if the person describes the alien hand to me that touches them or whatever, I get a pretty good sense of what kind of entity was there and what the program was on the individual. And if we find what fluorescence that shows up on the individual, if we find it, which is pretty rare to find, that gives me another good sense of what exactly is going on with that individual.
I hope you'll consider coming back on the show. There's so much to uncover.
I'm delighted to. Johnny's got my information, and he can ring my bell anytime he wants to.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to ring your bell, all right.
Every day.
Well, thanks for taking the time to talk with us there, Mr. Sims.
Delighted. My pleasure, and I wish the best for both of you on your investigations, your work in UFOs, and your work in Bigfoot and that sort of thing. And I'm delighted to speak with you today, and hope your audience got some things that were useful for them.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you would like to learn more about Daryl Sims, the alien hunter, get the latest UFO sighting reports, Sasquatch sighting reports, if you want to contact us, share your experience, or just yell at us for being tinfoil hat wearing whack jobs, log on to strangeharbor.net.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor, be strange.